So why don't you tell us first about what you did for your five-minute segment? I know that you were doing a lot of the topics, and I noticed some of what you did was very good.
Well, it's nice to hear that. Before we did the five-minute segments, we recorded quite a bit of my reading poetry, and right. then I responded to the various topics, and since I've had a pretty full life, I guess I had a lot to say about a lot of them. In fact, in some cases, I was stacked up. I think one of the topics was auto accidents, and I guess I've had a few exciting ones, so yeah. I tried to keep it to the most exciting one.
Right, and I saw some of your poetry. It was wonderful, as always.
Thank you.
What got you into writing poetry?
Two things provoked me to write poetry. One, interestingly enough, is that poetry, by its nature, at least as I prefer it, is brief. And I wanted to learn to be a creative writer faster. So I chose the briefest form of writing I could so that I would have to go through the entire process of writing and marketing, and I could go through it a lot of times to learn and improve, which is exactly what I did. I wrote a lot of poems of short and medium length and kept sending them out and rewriting them and rewriting them. And the practice effect very much applies. The more you do it, the better you get. Interestingly enough, when I went ahead in a few years back to put together a retrospective of my early poetry, I discovered that at this point in my career, it looks to me like the first 200 poems I had published really sucked. Mm-hmm. And then I seemed to find a groove around 92, 93. I seemed to find an ability to express myself a lot more clearly, and that certainly pleased me. I tend to be quite brief, though. That was one of the attractive things. Another one, I hate to admit it, is that I really don't like most of the poetry out there. Locally in Western New York, we have a lot of great creators. In fact, I also think Rochester has a lot of excellent poets. But nationally, a lot of what I'm forced to read as somebody who's working in the industry doesn't appeal to me at all. A lot of it is self-indulgent and nonsensical as far as I'm concerned.
I see. So what are your poems basically about for the people out there?
Well, I guess having over 800 published, that I have a lot of themes rather than a few. Certainly one theme is my children and family life. When I first started writing them, I thought no one would really be interested because it's like showing pictures of your kids around. And I discovered that just the opposite was true. For a lot of people, those were the most lively poems. Another major theme, and perhaps I have a poetic persona, and the persona is the man most bitter about romance who never gave up. And so I continue to explore the idea of what it means to be a romantic in middle age, to have not had the experience, say, of my parents who have been married for 51 years now. I think that my experience certainly speaks for a lot of people in not having had a smooth romantic road and having had to face the reality of multiple relationships, having been with a number of people for years, and getting to middle age and not having behind me that 25 years of marriage that some of my friends have, like Alan Sue.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And where are your poems published?
I guess they've been published an awful lot of places and never really counted how many places. And perhaps it's my own personal imp of the perverse that I like to cover a wide variety. So I've been published in periodicals as small as the Dumars Review, which I think had a circulation of 87 at the issue I was published, and as large as, say, the Buffalo News, which has a circulation of over 100,000. I've been in the news, I don't know, 6-8 times, been in Art Voice, been in lots of small and mid-sized magazines, lots of bookstore-type newsstand magazines, and as well as smaller periodicals. The last 7 or 8 years, I've been in a lot of small literary magazines as well. So pretty much a variety of both commercial and literary places.
I see. It sounds good. So what do you do in your regular life?
At this point, I'm a professor of English at Hilbert College, although I also teach in the communications department there. I've been teaching for about 7 years. Before that, I spent 20 years as a factory working teamster. And yes, I've driven 18-wheelers and all kinds of forklifts. And primarily, I was working in a dairy. And I have to tell you that everybody wants to know about the cows, but... There are no cows in a dairy. Milk does not come from cows. Milk comes from really large stainless steel tank trucks. I know the truth.
Well, that's interesting. Now, you've also taken classes on film writing and such, and you're an amateur film writer at this point?
I am about halfway through a Master of Fine Arts in screenwriting. My interest started originally when I was invited to submit to an independent producer who had worked on a lot of big projects when she was working for Disney and HBO and some other companies. And she picked one of them up for pre-production. Children's story about a cat we used to have, and developed it into a full proposal for a series called Calliope. And it was a new experience working with someone who was molding me into writing for this visual medium. Now, I already have a master's degree in literature, and I did all my work in pretty much in Shakespeare, Milton, and Chaucer. So in that sense, I'd studied theater. I had performed a lot of theater in my youth, and I sat down and I wrote some theater, including collaborating on a full-length stage play. And really, it was pretty easy. It was pretty obvious. It was nothing new. It was just applying creative writing to a new field. But when I had to sit down and write for television, I found it was totally different, and I really had no idea what I was doing. And that got me intrigued. I liked the idea of learning something new about a pastime I love. And I started reading about it, and the next thing you know, I started pitching an idea of going to grad school to get this terminal degree in screenwriting. My boss was pretty interested, so she helped me facilitate the opportunity, and so I went off, and I've been working with Jackie Reingold. She's my personal advisor at Goddard, and she's written for a number of shows, including Daria. In particular, I've had a lifelong interest in animation, and so they were nice enough to hook me up with someone who had written for animation.
Daria, there was an interesting show, to say the least.
I'm also interested in animation, not only as like the kids series I was working on, but I'm also interested in animation for adults. And I mean that both in the sense of a movie like Sin City, which is largely animation, and Jurassic Park, but I also mean it in terms of South Park and other shows.
King of the Hill, The Simpsons,
absolutely.
Family Guy
is very funny stuff, and on its good days, so is King of the Hill.
Oh, yeah. But keep in mind that Family Guy can be offensive. King of the Hill keeps it real.
Well, I'm pretty sure that humor keeps it offensive. I've spent a lot of time studying the nature of humor, and I think rule number one is, as Steve Martin put it, it's not pretty.
No, it's not. It's not. So do you see yourself – now you have a wife and three kids, correct?
I have an ex-wife, a fiancé, and 3.7 children.
3.7 children?
Yeah, I'm expecting another one around the end of April, early May.
I see. Okay. Well, that's a big family. So what are your plans? What do you see yourself doing in the future? I mean, do you want to write for movies? Do you want to write for TV?
I very much want to write for the visual media, both movies and television. I'm quite interested in both. I think that there's some important work to be done. I mean, one of the things I've done in poetry is talk about a couple of topics that I don't think are talked about: what it's like to be middle-aged and single, what it's like to be starting over, what it's like to be a talented person trapped in a dead-end job. And I think that these things are...
I can sympathize on that one.
I think my experience is, I don't think they're special. I think that it's the American experience to get trapped for part of your life in a dead-end job. I think it's the American experience that something, whether it's romance or whether it's your house or whatever it is, isn't going to go right, and you have to deal with it. But we don't talk about it too much. There was a funny piece in the Buffalo News by Mary Kunz just talking about the fact that on television, every time a family is portrayed as the kids living with the dad, it's always because the mom died,
mm-hmm.
right? Whereas I have custody of my kids, and their mom is very much alive and active and interested in their life and sees them, you know, twice a week, and they have a great relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different from anything that I've ever seen on television.
Well, there was a sitcom in the 80s called Blossom that featured the father having the three kids and the mother being off.
I hadn't heard of that, but I, of course, bow to your encyclopedic knowledge.
Yeah, well, it starred some really good talent, including Joey Lawrence as the oldest son, or maybe it was the second oldest, but it was a pretty good show. It ran as the companion piece to Will Smith's Fresh Prince of Bel-Air for quite some time. So it's not totally unheard of, and, sure. You know, I mean...
I will... toss out the idea when we were talking a little before. One of my favorites as a filmmaker is Kevin Smith. And there's two elements about his work. One is that he talks about the things nobody else talks about. Although, of course, when he made his movie about a father with custody of his kid, it was because the mother died. That was Jersey Girl.
And that was a phenomenal film.
I loved it. I cried.
I did too.
I can't believe that the critics slammed it.
I can't either. Oh, and it's probably the most solid film Kevin ever made.
Possibly.
Considering Clerks, Chasing Amy, which I still haven't seen, Mallrats, and Dogma.
Don't forget the bombastic Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
I couldn't forget it even if I tried.
One of the things I love about Kevin Smith's work and Shakespeare's...
Was the constant appearance of Jay and Silent Bob?
Partly. I like the mix of high and low humor, and I love the fact that Jay is the essence of low humor. The guy is just the most foul-mouthed, politically incorrect monster ever created.
I agree.
And I think that for me, the movie that worked least good was Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back because it missed the high verbal wit. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you watch Chasing Amy, you have this amazing high verbal wit running between...
like I said, that's the only one I haven't seen.
It's the next best one after Jersey Girl.
Okay.
When you watch Clerks, there's an awful lot of high verbal wit.
Well, what did you think of the animated Clerks that lasted for 6 episodes?
I thought that the best episodes never aired. They had 2 unaired episodes, and they were the best ones. But I don't know how you make something that politically incorrect functional for TV.
I know, but I mean, you have the psycho villain who's the best character in the whole damn thing. I mean, it's almost as bad as Family Guy when the psycho baby and the talking dog are the 2 best characters and everybody else you just want to slap.
It's true. I'm sometimes in awe of the job they do on Family Guy and The Simpsons of bringing in amazing themes and somehow making them palatable for a primetime audience.
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing stuff. Now, Kevin Smith, I have to say when Clerks first came out, I was lucky enough to see it first run in the movie theater. And it was the first time I ever saw a movie that I would have written.
Mm.
I said, wow, I would have liked to have written that, and I might have if life had been different.
Well, did you see his 5-minute film, The Flying Car?
No, I haven't.
That was an interesting one. It was a conversation in a car between Randall and... Dante, is it?
Dante.
And about the possibility of the existence of a flying car while they're trapped in a traffic jam. And it's very funny. I have it on tape somewhere. Kevin Smith, he does some amazing things. Making Alanis Morissette God was probably one of the most amazing things.
Brilliant. But, it was brilliant.
And, you know, with Alan Rickman and all the other... And the little feud between James Vanderbeek and Mark Hamill in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, that was just hysterical.
It was. Yeah. Of course, it was the end where they got a little high verbal wit, so you had some balance to Jay.
Yep, it's like, hey, aren't you from Dawson's Creek? Hey, no one's supposed to watch that show. Anyway, so you did an episode of the Greg Sturley Show, too. How was that for you?
I did, and that was kind of fun. In fact, I just had a very big media fall where I was on a documentary for local... tourism, and I was on the Sturles Show, and I was on your radio show, and I shot
the Oracle of Enlightenment,
and I shot the 5-minute video series, and now I'm talking to you again.
Yeah, you did all 50 of the topics, right?
I did go through 50 topics and brought in 3 of my own.
Very nice. Wow. So we'll be looking forward to seeing a lot of that in the upcoming episodes.
Well, I think I gave them far too much material, but that's just the nature of a full life.
Well, when the 5-minute series is concerned, you can never give too much.
I have to tell you that I totally believe in the process. I believe in the process of just letting people talk and then trying to find the diamonds. Instead of constructing something, I mean, it's kind of the opposite process of a screenplay. When you're writing a screenplay and you're trying to write 22 minutes for television, it's all structure. Exactly. The entire thing is structure, and you build up piece by piece. But when you're trying to get a real insight into everyday folk, I think that the right process is to let them roll and then find a dedicated person like Richard Wicca who can find the diamonds in the dust.
In the rough, yeah. Okay, well, we're about out of time, so thank you for being here on the show, and we look forward to seeing more of your work.
Well, great. Thanks for having me.